Pilots have seen things most people will only dream of. Your host, Jeff Lively, has had his fair share of time in the sky and has plenty of stories to tell. Here on Leaders of Aviation, we're speaking with others in the aviation industry to get their insight and inspiration. Together, we'll gain knowledge to pursue our goals. Life's a journey. Enjoy the flight.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode for the Leaders of Aviation podcast. I'm super excited to bring you my guest today. So some episodes will be all aviation, others will be all business. Today it is all business. I'm bringing on my good friend, Adam McChesney. He is an entrepreneur and an owner partner of Height Digital in St. Louis. Adam, welcome to today's episode.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jeff. Super excited to be here. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So let's first start with your story. So kind of guide us through your entrepreneurial journey and essentially how you got to where you currently are.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, Jeff, owner partner of Height Digital St. Louis, my journey in entrepreneurship kind of had some ups and downs in terms of where we got to where we're at right now. Right out of college, I didn't necessarily know what I wanted to do and never thought of getting into sales. I always wanted to be more on the marketing side and essentially couldn't find a job that I really wanted to do, and ultimately worked for a delivery marketing agency type of company. So at the time we were competing with Grubhub before Grubhub really took off. And I was basically a sales rep there for a couple different markets based out of Columbia, Missouri. Learned sales and marketing from one of my mentors at the time, and essentially got to a point where I just didn't like working for someone else. So I quit, had a nice job at the time, making some decent money, and moved back in with my parents, trying to start an outsourced sales company for small businesses that didn't necessarily have a sales rep, and did some couple different things. It's kind of where I got introduced to digital marketing, because there was a digital marketing company that I was selling briefly for, but I didn't know the first thing that I was doing. So I basically made no money from that business that I tried to create for about 2 months, and wound up working odd and end jobs that you would never think someone with a college degree would do. And did that, and luckily kind of came to a fruition where I realized I had to get a serious job just to move out of my parents' basement and move on with my career. So I got into a couple different medical device sales jobs, two of which ultimately catapulted me to a large company on the CPAC manufacturing side, where I was there for close to 3 years. That was the job I left before I went full-time into entrepreneurship, right in the midst of the pandemic. So up to July of 2020. And I had taken some courses to learn digital marketing, really kind of how to build out digital real estate. So building out your websites, building out SEO campaigns, and then also pay-per-click and Facebook ads, but never really took off. And then it just seemed like a lot of things were going not in the direction that I wanted to in my position and where I was at in life, working in corporate America. So ultimately had, you know, a couple clients on the side, decided, all right, now is the time, if there's ever one, to go into digital marketing and entrepreneurship full time. So did that in July 2020, and was out on my own, building websites, selling websites, ranking them, basically doing it all on my own, and realized that I didn't know how to run. And I hadn't created a business. I basically created a job. And that was not what I got into entrepreneurship in order to do. So through trying to build out my team and infrastructure, never really had success doing so, and ultimately got pursued with an opportunity at Height Digital as they were creating a franchise model to digital marketing that gave me a lot of the assets and the resources that I was lacking. The fulfillment aspect, the account management aspect, having specialists in everything that we offer versus being kind of the one-stop shop, but you're only really good at one or two things, but you offer a couple. And that led me, you know, basically to where we're at today.
Awesome. brother, that's a whole bunch to digest. Thank you for sharing with that. So let's go back to college. Okay. Right out of college, you mentioned that you didn't know what to do. I feel like that's most of people that graduate today. You know, they get right out of school and they took whatever they took and they're like, well, I hate this, but I've always been told this is what I have to do, so on and so forth. So coming right out of college and then becoming that sales rep in Columbia, Missouri, you know, I guess what were your, you know, initial feelings coming out of college? You know, were you scared? Were you excited? Was it a mixture of both?
Oh yeah, definitely a mixture of both. So I went to college for sports management, and 2 years in, did my internship finally the summer between sophomore year and junior year of college, and realized working in sports was not what I wanted to do. So I did an internship with the minor league baseball team, and working in sports was what I always wanted to do. And then I realized after that, I didn't want to do that. And I wanted to do medical device sales. So I was kind of always following through on what I thought was what I wanted to do, but it actually ended up not being that way. And so I was two years into a 4-year program. I'm like, all right, do I completely pivot into a new major? No, because I don't want to go to college any longer than I already have to. But there were some other avenues that I could, I ended up getting 4 majors in the amount of time of 4 years, just taking summer courses and extended courses online. So I got degrees in marketing, business management, and then HR, just to learn as much as I possibly could about business in general, because I never thought I would deviate away from that. And at the end of the day, towards the end of my tenure in college, learned about medical device sales, learned about sales in general, and didn't necessarily think that I would be a good salesperson. So I never went to go find sales jobs as I was applying to jobs. I was applying to jobs as a marketing person. And one of the internships that I did in college was with the company I ended up working for right out of college. So it was more of like, I don't know what I want to do. They're offering me a pretty decent job with some awesome upside. And it was a startup company per se. So I just jumped at the opportunity.
Awesome. Love that. Love that. So you have how many degrees again?
I have 4. And I always tell people that. And it's not that impressive, because when I looked at it, I only had to take like 2 extra classes per each degree, which was just like a year of summer school and then, you know, some online classes. And it ended up not being nearly as hard as you would think.
So one of those is marketing, correct?
Yes, one of those is marketing.
So you mentioned earlier that you had learned sales and marketing from your mentor. So tell us a little bit of the difference from being in class marketing and actually being with your mentor and learning from him or her.
Yeah, absolutely. So what you think about when you go through all these things in college is, if you take a look at a marketing class, none of which at the time was really digital marketing. So that was never touched on. It was more the social media aspect, the branding aspect, all the really cool stuff about marketing. But when you went to go apply for those marketing jobs, you had to have like 3 to 5 years of experience doing nothing related to the actual cool stuff within marketing. So for me, it was more so of just like, hey, I really like those ideas of things. But then when I went and actually like went in on the bottom floor of a startup company, I learned so many different things about business, about sales and marketing, entrepreneurship, just because I kind of had to do a bunch of different things. And it kind of gave me that firsthand opportunity. You're going to sink or swim, but you're going to learn a couple things. And with sales, you know, you don't have to have any experience at most companies to be a sales rep. You just have to, you know, have a variety of different skill sets, interview well, and all those different things in order to obviously get your foot in the door. And then sales is what you make of it once that happens.
Absolutely. So with it, that's funny you mentioned that with sales experience. You know, I've worked a couple of sales jobs, and they all say training on the job, right? So they'll teach you, but really it's more so of a personal development path. But we'll get into that in a minute. So while you were learning sales and marketing with the startup that you were working for, Did you have any vested interest outside of that? Like, did you own any of that company, or was it more so just a job?
Yeah, so it was more so just a job. And then I was looking for, like, I knew at the time it probably wasn't going to be like a long-term thing. It was kind of just a segue outside of my internship to actually make some money outside of college that was anything more than what I was being paid as an intern type of thing. And that's when I kind of just realized, like, all right, I'm just going to quit, move back home. So back to St. Louis and try to get my footing there, try to get into entrepreneurship. I had no freaking plan, and ultimately didn't really do anything with that 6 months in terms of actually building anything. All had ideas, you know, I'm the visionary type of guy, and ultimately found my way, luckily, into specialized sales in the medical space.
Cool. So you mentioned too that you moved back in with your parents, and that's a very humbling thing to say. And a lot of you know, the entrepreneurs that you and I are associated with, they have similar stories in terms of, like, they had to go live with their in-laws, they had to move in with their grandparents, their parents, or, you know, they helped pay the bills, whatever that looked like. You know, I know you have that story, I have that story. So when that happened, when you were transitioning, obviously they live in St. Louis, and you said you wanted to make your mark in the St. Louis market. So when you moved back in with your parents, what did your average day look like? Were you going out prospecting, trying to sell? Or I know you said the medical sales device, you know, what, talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, basically I took a 6 month hiatus from actually really having a job. So I had a couple friends that had businesses and had been connected with other people that had businesses that were like, hey, we don't know how to sell anything. And I had just got out of basically working 9 months, and I was like, you know what? I love sales. So let me go to try to find more clients for you. I thought I had this business idea that they could just contract me out, pay me commission, do all these different things. I ended up getting paid, like, in the entire summer, maybe $500 of commissions. But the biggest lesson, the things that I learned during that 6 month period, was getting told no all of the freaking time. And so it was very heavy on prospecting and networking, but it was a rough 6 months, but I look back at it and it gave me truly the work ethic that I have today, and where I was successful in medical device sales, because I got told literally no every single day I tried to do anything except for like one or two sales on some very low ticket products. And so for me, it was a great experience looking back on it. But after that, you know, I transitioned into medical device sales, where I had accounts. I was kind of on my feet from the get-go and just needed to build on those accounts that I already had.
Cool. It's kind of like getting told no all the time is like a rite of passage, right? For moving forward and finally seeing some sort of success, at least.
Exactly.
So in the medical sales world, you know, you said you kind of, like, were the leads provided to you, like, you know, you already had your footing. So was that essentially pure corporate America type?
Yeah. So the first company that I worked at and the second company that I worked at, it wasn't too different in terms of what my role was. It was a little bit on the account management side, but really trying to go and find more business, trying to get our products into each of those accounts and get people talking about our stuff. So the first company that I worked at, it was really just knocking doors and trying to get new accounts and then upsell those accounts, because it was a product that was more of a consumable. Whereas where I spent most of my time in medical device sales, you know, there was only two medical equipment providers for the main product that we sold. So you were either buying from me or you were buying from our competitor. So we had, you know, basically everyone knew who we were. We obviously didn't have all the business, but I had to go in and figure out how do we increase their business? How do we get more patients in the pipeline? And then how do we sell them more products once we're in the door?
Digital marketing. How did that start playing into, because sales and digital marketing, you know, obviously getting clients, that's selling, right? But digital marketing is kind of a whole nother space that you hadn't really dived into too much up until that time. So why digital marketing, and why did you move towards that path?
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2018, I was looking for ways to make money online because I kind of already saw that, you know, medical device, just don't know if this is going to be my forever thing. I've always wanted to work for myself. So I went to Google and started searching for ways to make money online, kind of the thing that everybody does, regardless of if they will admit to it or not. And was looking at, you know, ways to make money on eBay, Amazon, dropship. I mean, you name it. And then I got targeted by an ad that taught how to build digital real estate. So basically the real estate investment side of what would be in the online space at the time, which was building websites, ranking them, et cetera. And I always thought, okay, it'd be really cool if I could help out a bunch of local businesses. Because at the end of the day, I knew a bunch of business owners. I'm like, all right, I can go sell this. I can build this. And I started ranking stuff to the first page of Google and not really putting too much time and effort into it. And I got addicted to just the leads that were coming in, the money that these people were making, and obviously working for myself. And so obviously as Google has evolved, as new services and products have came in, the space has really changed since 2018. But I've transitioned from one, doing the work myself, and two, doing a lot of cold calling, because with my personal brand, that's what I'm really focused on in driving people to me based on the content and the results we provide.
Absolutely. And with that digital marketing, so, you know, what are some of the classes that you took to, you know, gain more knowledge in that area?
Yeah. So basically, you know, they were from the ground up. So building the most basic and simple website, looking at the back end of a website to figure out what Google and all the search engines actually care about versus what people think they care about. Those are two completely different things. And then focusing on getting the website live and taking it into that transition period, what actually needs to happen ongoing. A lot of people think, whether it's search engine optimization, Google ads, Facebook ads, et cetera, that you just set it up and you basically put it on autopilot. And in certain instances, you probably used to be able to do that, but now there's a lot more that goes into it. And those are the types of things that this program also taught, to how to build content ongoing, how to write blogs, et cetera.
Yeah. So, you know, what not a lot of people like to talk about is whenever you go into business for yourself, it sucks. Like it's hard. It's not, you know, not that it is fun, but more so or less, you know, you're getting kicked in the face daily. So you had mentioned that when you first started into this, it really wasn't going in the direction that you wanted it to. So up until the time that you decided in July of 2020 to dive in, you know, talk about that time period and kind of what you went through.
Yeah. So when I really started focusing even just a couple hours a week on digital marketing on the side, I started, you know, getting clients, I started getting referrals. So I knew I had something there, but I wasn't charging nearly enough for what we were doing. I wasn't making all that much money, but I was making money. So it looked really cool. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to jump into this full time. What I thought I really, you know, had was, again, just more of that job and not an actual business. And I ended up not paying myself from July 2020 to January 2021. And it wasn't that there wasn't money being made or anything like that, but I had invested a lot of money into networks like Warren, like Apex and Arete and a couple other self-development things, just to be a person in the room or to learn from people that were there, which really catapulted me, you know, to where I ended up going in 2021 and where we're at here in 2022. But I wasn't focused, luckily, on making that money in the short term. But what does it look like long term? And what does it look like the next year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line?
For sure. So you mentioned, well, I knew we were eventually going to get into Apex, Arete. You know, those programs are essentially entrepreneur universities, right? But they're not universities. Let's be clear about that. They are for sure life changing programs. So, talk a little bit more about how those have helped you out and propel you into where you are now.
So it's done a couple different things. The main one is really the consideration that you have to become a different person as a business owner than working any other job you've ever done. When I transitioned from medical device field, I thought I could just sell more and then I would make more because I'm running my own business. When I didn't have processes and systems, I didn't have a great lead pool or prospecting going on. I didn't know what I didn't know. And so that, you know, specifically Apex being the network that I've really dove into from the get-go, it taught me all the things that I needed to know that I didn't understand. And so investing in yourself, you know, health, fitness, investing into masterminds and networks, but ultimately that you have to take your business and systemize it. So that way you can hire people, that way you can scale without you being everything, which is what I really was for about the first 7 or 8 months of doing this full time, and thinking bigger, thinking not just about the next couple of months. And so it transitioned my train of thought to get me to a point where now I'm thinking about even bigger things than I was, you know, a year ago. But also just the network, you know, that's been a phenomenal piece in teaching myself how to become the it factor within my niche or within my industry or within my local market. And with Apex specifically, the Build Your Machine, I mean, it teaches you the framework of how to get people coming to you. And digital marketing, there's so many digital marketers out there. So it's not like it's easy to brand yourself the way that most people could think. And that's what I've really had to transition as well, is how do I connect with my target audience in a different level than any other digital marketer that's out there.
So you mentioned something that within what you just said. So when you started joining these groups and investing in yourself, that's when you propelled. That's when the changes started to happen. You know, there's a saying that I think it was Jim Rohn that said it. He said, you know, formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. And everything that you've said with Apex and with Arte, and just the network is your net worth, right? It's a game changer. And I think a whole bunch of people, they want to start their own business, but they're not willing to invest in themselves. And if they're not willing to invest in themselves, why do they think somebody else should invest in them with their business, you know? And so I think that's something that as business owners, you know, we, not that we put that out there, hey, we're part of these entrepreneur groups, but more so or less like I think we have a better understanding of, hey, you have to develop personally before you can, or honestly, to be that business owner that you talked about. So you mentioned the physicality of things too. You've done 75 hard. Go ahead and talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I did 75 hard this time last year and completed it. It was a phenomenal journey, you know, learned a lot about myself, more importantly, and then got through the program, was feeling great. Unfortunately, I ended up falling off and kind of just coasting the rest of the year with health and fitness. I started 75 hard again this year. I decided to quit. More importantly, just kind of realizing and taking an audit of what's working and what's not. And so kind of trying to transition to that next phase of what does my daily routine look like 365 days a year, not just a 75-day program, because I've already done that and saw that I didn't like what happened after it. But I think the key piece, the physicality, goes much further than obviously just working out. It's the, you know, what you actually eat. It's feeding your mind. So I've read more books already this year than I did last year. And we're, you know, 2 months in. Doing those types of things, taking in content, whether it be podcasts like this, YouTube videos, things like that, people don't understand that literally everything you can learn from the internet. Now, most people don't want to actually take the time to listen to an entire course on how to do exactly what I've done. If I gave people the blueprint, which I've done before, 99% of people aren't going to actually do it because it's hard. It's not easy. It takes time. So when I think about the physical being of who you are, it goes much deeper. And that's what I've realized, because I always used to think, man, I'm just going to work out. I can eat whatever I want. I don't have to read. I know all this stuff. I can learn it. I'll learn lessons along the way. And that couldn't be further from the truth.
That's awesome. And I think I haven't done 75 hard yet, but just through following your journey and other people's journeys as well, what y'all come out and realize about not only yourselves, but just the overall aspect of change, I think is what really that program is all about. So Height Digital, full services, everything, you know, owner, partner, let's get into that. So yeah, I knew previously you were Ms. Marketing and morphed into Height. So talk about that transition and what Height does.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a full service agency, as you mentioned. We do logo and branding, website design, SEO, and then paid ads. So we kind of have two different divisions of the company. One is the creative side, which is more your branding. And then we have the ongoing services side, which is more your lead generation, digital side of things. And as I made that transition over to Height back in May of 2021, I just essentially merged my company with the franchise. So all of my clients at the time became clients of Height Digital St. Louis, and Ms. Marketing in Height Digital St. Louis are one and the same. The biggest, you know, change for me is I was doing the sales, I was project managing, account managing, all of the different things on the fulfillment side, had my hands in the entirety of the business. And Height Digital is, at least right now, the only one that we know of to this extent that is doing everything in the franchise model. So the franchise model being that as a client of ours, you get all of the amazing things that comes with hiring a specialist and a marketing agency of our size without paying the price tag that you would have to go do elsewhere. And the reason we're able to do that is because at this point we have 19 locations, and all of our 19 locations pool together the entire fulfillment team. So in a lot of marketing companies, you know, when I was a marketing company myself, I knew how to do everything. I knew how to do everything pretty well, but I was kind of the jack of all trades. Whereas now we have logo designers, we have web designers, we have SEO specialists, and the list goes on. So we're able to have all of those employees, about 175 in total, all pooled together. And then we have the processes and systems. We have everything that you need for scalability from my standpoint as a franchisee. So that's been a really cool experience that's been coming up, you know, now on a year where we've over tripled our business, just doing all the same things that we've been doing, but we're doing it better. Clients are getting more touch points. I have two full-time account managers that just work with me. I have a director of operations, and she kind of keeps the glue together, kind of the integrator within our organization. And so really starting to finally build the business and not just the job.
That's awesome. You're transitioning just like we spoke about. So
the transition.
Very cool, man. So I kind of want to get into now with, you know, thanks for sharing all of that. I want to get into essentially how we met now. So we met through Apex, and we had been interacting over Facebook Messenger quite often, and decided, hey, I said, hey, I have this idea. Originally, I was trying to do kind of what you were doing in terms of not on your scale at all, but more so or less lead generation for aviation companies. And I got in contact with you through Apex, and someone referred me to you. And through that referral, you told me everything that I was doing, and everything that you told me I was doing, everything you said that I was doing, I essentially was doing it wrong. And I'm glad though that interaction happened, because what I was trying to offer is nothing compared to what we are able to offer our clients. And I've brought just, you know, we are partnered and we do have a couple of clients, aviation clients, which is awesome. So let's kind of get into that a little bit and talk about how we've been able to, I guess, help those companies expand, especially in aviation. It's such a niche industry. You know, one's a local company and another is a national company. So I guess kind of talk about the difference between a national campaign and a local campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the primary service that most of our clients, you know, utilize is search engine optimization. And then a lot of them are on pay-per-click with Google. And then we have some clients that are on Facebook ads, but with a lot of the things that are going on with Facebook, which is kind of how you and I started to connect, was around some of that Facebook marketing. It's just not the ideal source of lead generation like it used to be. So with search engine optimization, the main difference in a local campaign versus a national campaign is really the content and the amount of content that goes behind it. So if you, you know, kind of like we're talking about in aviation, if you have flight schools all over the country or you have a product or service that you can offer everywhere and Google doesn't know that you can do that everywhere by the way that things are titled on your website or the amount of content and then also how that content is being produced, then they're never going to know. Because in a local standpoint, you have your Google business listing and you have normally the pin and the radius that you service. The same goes for a national company, but a lot of times national companies obviously don't just want to do business in St. Louis, for example. So you have to train the back end of your website to then go train Google on understanding where you operate, where you can service people, and also what you do. And most people miss the boat, even on a local side, from that standpoint. You and I have talked about some people that are interested in working with us, and their website is ranking for, you know, irrelevant search terms all over the country when they're a local flight school. And so on the SEO side, that's super important. When it comes to Google pay-per-click, you can throw ads up and set those things up pretty much anywhere, whether it's local or national. So there's not necessarily a difference there. The only caveat being is the budget. So, right. So if you're a local company, you're obviously going to probably spend less than someone that operates on a national level, just because you have a much wider pool of people that you can, you know, target and operate as far as the business goes.
For sure. Absolutely. And with both of our clients, we've seen some great results. You know, I know with the national campaign, we've increased their exposure substantially while decreasing their budget. I know that we had some, brief interactions on email where I guess they were concerned and they didn't realize they were saving money. And you pointed that out. And I think they truly like that, obviously, whenever you're saving a company money. And then for the local campaign, too, they recently just bought a second airplane. And he said, I actually interviewed him as well, and his episode's going to drop here in a couple of weeks. But he said that ever since he started the campaigns with us, that most of his referrals at first were just word of mouth. And now he's getting more phone calls saying, hey, I found you online. Hey, I found you online. I found you through this, that, and the other, through all the search engines and everything that y'all provide. So it makes a huge difference, especially in 2022 with how things are at least in the digital marketing world and space. So,
everything is data related at this point. You know, I mean, you've seen, you know, all the things that we provide, the dashboards, all those different things. If you're not leveraging the data, regardless if you're using a marketing company to know what's working or not working, you're going to be in that same position forever. So the big thing that we want to do is really focus on content, but then leverage that data to help our clients understand, is this working? If it is, great. Let's continue to do more of it, double down, et cetera. If it's not working, how do we pivot? And we're always looking at that next thing or that next strategy that could potentially help them get to the next level. Like you talked about with the one national client. In the beginning, we were like, hey, we audited your ad account, and you guys are spending a lot of money and not necessarily knowing where all this stuff is coming from. I would recommend even pulling back some, starting smaller. And I think we're going to do better even with that budget, but we can always grow and scale up to that point instead of just kind of dumping money away and not having that data to know what's working.
Absolutely, for sure. So with you know, digital marketing and any business is ever evolving. So where do you see digital marketing heading? You know, at first it was kind of that Facebook and Google lead generation, and now it's more so SEO. And where do you see it heading here in the next 5-10 years?
Yeah, so I don't necessarily, I mean, a lot of people say SEO is dead, SEO is going away. I mean, we've literally seen clients' businesses blow up. It doesn't happen overnight, but it definitely happens to see it blow up with search engine optimization. That's digital real estate that is never going to go away. Now, with ads, you know, if you take an ad down or you stop working with the marketing company, those ads go away. So that more so is kind of like the shiny object. It definitely helps. It brings in leads, all those good things. But I think the next phase of digital marketing is where we're seeing everything with, you know, the metaverse and all of these different areas that you never know how they're going to tap into the market. So that's a thing that luckily I don't have to focus on myself anymore, because we have an entire team that focuses on strategy, next level, all those good things. We're beta testing some stuff with TikTok and all those new platforms. We're always kind of at the forefront of that now, luckily, without me physically having to be there. But there's going to be that next platform. There's going to be maybe even that next kind of that next tier of everything, which is what kind of Google was when that first started. We just obviously don't know what's going to click and what's not. So that's why it's always important to kind of split test and trial and error.
For sure. Yeah. Cool. So yeah, you mentioned the metaverse. Yeah, that's something that I'm extremely interested in, and I think we'll have conversations on the side about that, but really excited for where digital marketing is heading, and you know, also proud to be partnered with you and you know, wanted to thank you for that as well. So as we wrap up today, Adam, where is a couple of places where if people wanted to reach out to you and ask you some questions, you know, where can people follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. So follow me on Instagram. So that's Adam L. McChesney, McChesney. You can also find me on Facebook at Adam McChesney. And then you can go to adammcchesney.com to see a couple different things that not only we do, but that's also where some of my socials are at as well. But Instagram is probably the easiest place.
For sure. And I obviously follow you on all channels, and you're always posting things that are super inspirational and motivational, as well as lessons that you've learned along your path. So I've always appreciated what you put out there. So Adam, to finish things up here, I like to finish with a question. You know, what is one leadership principle that you would want to leave with our audience?
So it's investing in your team. And that could go a variety of different ways, but we were talking about before, you know, the team that you've been working with. When you and I first started talking, it was really just me. And then we started building out the team of people that we have, and our business has grown tremendously and is continuing to grow, as is our team. And at the end of the day, you know, you obviously have clients, you have all of these different things, but your team is not going to go away. And meaning that you might have employees leave, things like that, but the core piece of that team, the core values, all of those things that are there and that you implement are going to stick if you do it correctly. So you have to be willing to invest in your team just as much as you invest in yourself and your clients, as if they were yourself. And that's the biggest lesson that I've learned over the past couple of months as we've continued to grow and scale, bring on more team members, is really investing in your team and showing them the way. And leading by example.
Awesome. Love that. Well, hey, brother, thank you again for your time today. And, you know, looking forward to for what's to come.
Yeah, man, appreciate you having me on, and appreciate all that you do, man.
Thank you for tuning into the Leaders of Aviation podcast. Make sure to share this with someone you know that can benefit from this content. Remember to support this show by rating, reviewing, and subscribing.